Right. Morning. Today's daf is Lamed Ches. We're on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, we're juggling a couple of questions of the Gemara, so let's just quickly set up our questions of the Gemara and then make an attempt to answer each one of the questions. One question we're juggling is the question of Rav Kahana. A person, we're in the fifth parak of Shuas, we're talking about Shuas HaBikadon. A person makes a denial that he owes a claim. So under those circumstances, if he does so b'shogeg, or even if he does so b'mezud, according to the Chachamim, so he's going to be chayav a carbon asham, and one of the five hashemos in the Torah. So this is the circumstances where he's going to be chayav a carbon asham. Since he brings it both b'shogeg and b'mezud, so you have a scenario in which a person makes a denial, knowing full well that he owes the obligation, but with the denial, he's going to be chayav a carbon. What if the first question that we are juggling is the question of Kahana, and that is, what if in the denial, right before the denial, he gets a warning, and now he's looking now at two punishments. He's looking at the punishment of Malkus, and he's looking at the carbon. So now what's going to happen? Meaning, so, and he denies it, b'mezid, with Hasra'a. So now what does he do? Does he bring a carbon and get Malkus? Does he get one of the two? And so that was question one that we threw up in the air. Rav Kahana asked a question. He was learning Masechta Shavuos in the yeshiva. A number of Amoraim, I should say, were learning Masechta in the yeshiva, and Rav Kahana, they were all learning in the yeshiva Rabba, and Rav Kahana asked this question, and so the question's getting kicked around. A second position is that of Rabba. Rabba's of the opinion that when your denial is not a major denial, when it's not that significant a denial, you're not going to be chayav a carbon shul. What does that mean, the denial is not that significant? It means that there are witnesses right now who are prepared to testify against you. So if there are witnesses who are prepared to testify against you, and you deny, what's your denial really? It's not that exciting. Because even if you deny, once the witnesses come and say that you owe the money, so then of course you owe the money, even if you're fully denying it. So Rabbi says that a denial is only significant in terms of a carbon liability. A denial is only significant if there's no edim. But once there are edim in the picture, so then your denial is not significant. And what the Gemara described it as is kriyas devarim ba'amahu. In other words, they were just words, but they don't really mean anything. Okay. And so that's not a question, but that's an opinion of Rabbi. With all that in mind, so the Gemara now, after having quoted the opinion of Rabba, so the Gemara now turns its attention to discuss this, and this is where we are in the Gemara. We're in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and we did that. Right, okay, fine. It's Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rabba. Ki Yechud D'Techol of Nezirus B'Tara. Okay, so Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rabba. Sorry.
It's
Rabba. That's where we left off. Right. Shemichol D'Ashrabe B'Kamei Maisi. There we go. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, right in the middle of the Amud with the words Amakasavar. We'll start right there. So the Gemara says Amakasavar Rabba Kofir Bemamon Shiyesh Lavedin Potter. Okay, so Rabba's of the opinion that if you're kofir, if you deny, but again, it's not a strong denial because there are witnesses. So as a result of that, it's not a denial that's going to result in a liability. Amli Rav Chanina Rabba Tanya Demesayelach. Okay, now Rabbi Chanina says to Rabba, good. Right, I hear your position. Not only do I hear your position, but I'm going to quote a price that's going to support your position. The Gemara quotes the Pesukim by Kfira, by Kofir Bibikadon, V'kichesh Ba, he denied, Prat Lamod Lechem and Achim. So V'kichesh Ba means you have to deny him. Him meaning the one who's making the claim against you. And what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude where you only deny one of the brothers. Meaning that, let's say there's a pair of brothers who are making a claim against you, and you just turn to one of the brothers and you make a denial just to one of the brothers. So that is excluded. Or to one of the partners, meaning there's a partnership group that is against you, that is having a claim against you, and you deny only to one of the partners. V'nishbal sheker, and you made a false oath. So prat lalova bishtar, v'lova be'edim, and that excludes somebody who is borrowing against either a document or borrowing against witnesses. Because there, nishbal sheker, you made a false claim. What do you mean you made a false claim? The witnesses or the shtar is telling you that your denial doesn't mean anything. So what do we have over here? Seemingly what we have over here, certainly in the second half of the Braisa, is really a strong support for Abba. The Braisa says very clearly that if your denial is going up against either a shtar or witnesses, your denial does not going to present a liability, will not cause a liability. So Amalei Mishum Halot. Yeah. So it won't, right, it won't, right, it won't be Mechaiva Karban. So Imishum Halot Tisayen. So to which Rabbi says, look, I appreciate you trying to help me out, and I appreciate you quoting the Braisa. But if that's all we have, so then the Braisa itself is not glad. It's not a good proof against me. Because ba'omer levisi v'lo levisi be'edim. Levisi v'lo levisi b'shtar. Because it could very well be that what's the denial? Meaning the Braisa is not really super clear about what the denial is. So what Rabbi says is that we could touch up is that here's what the denial is. The denial is, you know what? I did borrow, but lo levisi be'edim, but I didn't borrow with witnesses. Or levisi v'lo levisi b'shtar, and I did borrow, but I didn't borrow with a shtar. So mimai, and the Gemara says, and how do I know that that's really the pshat of the Braisa? Now, if that's the pshat of the Braisa, then of course, it doesn't serve as any kind of support for Rabba. Because Rabba was saying that when you deny everything, and you're still, there's witnesses who are ready to testify against you, that's not a denial. Now, in our taich up of the Braisa, that's not true. Meaning, in the Braisa, I agree that there's an obligation, but the witnesses were never there, or the shar was never written up. So, and Rabbi says, then look, this pshat that I just offered is the better pshat. Why? Because look at the first case of the Braisa. The first case in the Braisa is where I denied either one of the brothers or one of the partners. Now, how did you understand that? So the Gemara says, well, did you admit to one? Well, if you admitted to one, but that's also a denial to the other. So obviously the case over there is that I borrowed from the two of you. And he says to them, lo, michad minaychu yazvi. So the Gemara says, and what I'm saying is, no, I didn't borrow from both of you, meaning the group didn't lend me, the partnership didn't lend me, you two brothers didn't lend me, I only borrowed from one of you. So the Havilek first of Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, that's just, now what are we talking about? He's not arguing on the obligation, he's not even denying the obligation. The only thing he's trying to nitpick is, who's the one I actually owe to? Do I owe to the both of you, or do I only owe to one of you? But I do owe, that's not a denial. That's the first case of the Braisa. Umidereshik first varim, stefanamik first varim. So just like in the first case, the way we just explained it, now it's first varim. In other words, I'm not denying the obligation, I'm nitpicking on some of the details, which is not going to affect the fact that I'm really obligated. I'm really obligated. It's just a question of, did I borrow from both of you, or did I just borrow from one of you? Similarly, in the second case, where there was a shtar outstanding against me, or there were eidim outstanding against me, so there too. I'm not arguing that I owe the money. I do owe the money. It's just that there was no document. There were no witnesses. And again, kfir svarim ba'amma. These are just, he's nitpicking on some of the details.
So what's the problem with the shvuah? Why is mashbeh him on? Vashtar there is some tayelas that it's, if he's not paying his
house. Right.
But don't know what.
Meaning what? In the case of the shutfim. So they both feel that they are entitled to the money, and he's saying no. I only own. Okay. All right. Okay, but in other words, the Braisa, at least according to, I hear you. The Braisa is just giving examples of. In other words, this is not a denial. In other words, as long as he's agreeing to the chov, the etzem chov, anything he says after that is just kfiras dvarim, and the Braisa is just giving examples of what is considered kfiras dvarim. Okay, we have simanim on the bottom, Lamed Zayin, the mnemonic to help us remember, Tashma. Eino chayev al shegagasa, umau chayev asdona, asham bekesef shkalim. So the Braisa says that he's not going to be chayev on a shogeg, meaning shogeg, as we discussed back in the Mishnah. That simply means that he did not remember the obligation. So when he was denying, it wasn't like he was doing anything wrong at the time. He literally didn't remember. That's what we described as being shogeg. When is he going to be chayv? Asdona asham bekesef shkalim. When, let's say, for example, he's a zadon. So under those circumstances, he's going to be chayiv, and what he's going to be chayiv is a carbon asham set at the value of two shkalim. So my love zadon edim. So the Gemara says lo zadon atman. So what's the zadon? Doesn't that mean that witnesses are there testifying against him? And this would, and if that's true, wouldn't that disprove Rava? Because Rava is saying that when they're edim, there is not going to be a carbon. And now the way we're interpreting the brisa, when there is edim, he's still going to be chayiv a carbon. The Gemara says lo zadon atman. No, zadon simply means that he knows full well that he has it and he's denying it. Tashma, the Gemara brings in another braisa, or another section of the Mishnah. Hayushtei kiti edim kfir arishona, kafra arishona v'achar kach kafra ashniya, shtein chayavus min neshe cholos edim leiskayim v'shteim. This is going back to the previous parak. In the previous parak, there were two sets of witnesses. Now, the previous parak was not talking about shvuasa bikaron. It was talking about shvuasa edus. But still, the basic point is still the same. The first pair said, when the first pair was subpoenaed, and the Tohen said to the first pair, testify for me. And the first pair says, we don't know what you're talking about, right? We don't have any information. We swear we don't know anything. And then along comes the second pair. Second pair also say the same thing. So the halach is that the second pair are going to be liable. Why? Because with the denial of the first pair, they themselves, the second pair, could create a case. Because there are two witnesses, that second pair. Now, Bishlama, now I know we already asked this question, I know we already gave this answer, but now we're asking the question in this context. Bishlama, Shnei Techayev Ha'da Kafalei Kas Rishona. I certainly understand why the second group are going to be liable, because they are denying testimony that right now, the first one denied, but now as the second pair, they could have provided testimony. So, but the Gemara says, Ela Rishona, Amai Mechayeva, but the first set of witnesses, I don't understand. Why would they be Chayev? Meaning the first set of witnesses are making a denial, and aren't there now a second pair of witnesses? So even as they deny, the case is not uprooted because there's a second pair of witnesses. Va'kai Mishnia. And so there's a second set of witnesses. And what do you see over here? That there's a kfira, there's a denial, even though there are edim, meaning that second pair of witnesses, and yet the first pair are going to be chayev, and this would seemingly be going against Rabbah. The Gemara says, not necessarily. I'm a Ravina, Achim, on my skin, and Kigosh, Aisha, Shnea, Bishas, Fir, Sarishana, Krovim, Binisho, Sehem, Binisho, Sehem, Gosasos. So the Gemara says that at the time when the first pair of witnesses were testifying, the second pair of witnesses were not able to testify. And the reason why they were not able to testify, we already gave this answer back in the previous parak, is because at the time of the testimony of the first set of witnesses, second set of witnesses were related to each other. I'm saying the Gemara over like Rashi. Rashi said this in the previous parak. Same thing over here. They related to each other. In other words, they were married to two sisters. And so therefore, the second set of witnesses couldn't testify. Unishosem, Gosasos, and their wives were Gosasos. They were on their way out. But nevertheless, Ma'udetem Rav Gosasos Amisa. So the Gemara says, Havamina would have been that since they were on the way out, so therefore we should view them as if they're already dead. And therefore that means that the second set of witnesses were in fact eligible to testify. So the Gemara says, Hashemia Chayeninu Velo Shechiva. So the Gemara says, no, but that's the Chiddush. And again, it's a repetition of what we said back in the previous Perek. No, since at the time of the testimony of the first set of witnesses, the second set of witnesses were related, albeit they were related through wives that were dying. And even when we say dying, Gosasos, which is Karav Lamisa, but still, at that point in time, we halachically, they're viewed as alive. The second pair of witnesses are therefore related. Therefore, the first set of witnesses now, in a denial of the liability, are denying it, and there are no currently, right now, second set of witnesses. Okay, Tashma. Balabai Shatan Tanis Ganav Bipikadon. Vinishba Vahoda. Let's say the Balabai is making a taina of Geneva when it comes to an item that was entrusted with him. And he tells the owner of the item, look, I'm really sorry it was stolen from me. Vinishba Vahoda. And he made a shvua that this in fact happened. And then afterwards he comes clean. Didn't happen. Ubo Eidim. So, and then witnesses come to also report that he has the item by him. If let's say his admission came before the witnesses, Misham Karen V'chamesh V'asham, so then what does he pay? He pays now for a denial of a pikadon. He pays the principal value of the chomesh, and he has to bring a carbon asham. But let's say the witnesses come first, so then Misham Teshel Mekefel. So then he pays Kefel, because Kefel is when you're caught with a stolen item. And not only is kefal when you are caught with a stolen item, but as we learned in the seventh parak of Baba Kama, kefal is also when you claim that the item was stolen from you, and witnesses come forward and said that's not true. You also pay kefal under those circumstances. Misham tashami kefal v'asham. And you're also going to be bringing the karban asham. Again, what is at the core of the question of the Gemara over here? What comes out now is there's obviously a pair of Edim. Now, even though you admitted before the Edim come, but Edim are coming. I didn't mean admit. You deny. Even you denied, and there are Edim that are hovering around. Either the Edim come before you, or the Edim come afterwards. But there's Edim. And according to Rabbah, once there are Edim, that denial is not a significant denial. It's just what Rabbah described as Kfir's Dvarim Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, Hachanami kidur Ravina, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Misham Tashem Akeva Vashem, Hachanami kidur. I'm sorry, kidur Ravina, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So the Gemara's answer, Hachanami kidur Ravina. Right, I'm sorry, that the witnesses at the time were, thank you, the witnesses at the time were related to one another, so at the time of his denial, the witnesses were not yet were not yet eligible. Okay. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi Tashma Chamor Mimene Shavuos Bekadam Shechayav Nozdonu Makos Vashi Gaso Asham Bekesef Shkalim. The Braisa that we also quoted yesterday, we're quoting it again today. The Braisa says that by Shavuos Bekadon, if you do so b'mezid, you're subject to Malkus. If you do so b'shogi, you bring a Karban Asham. Now, mid the kamar loke mechladika edim. So again, if we're talking about malchus, that means witnesses were there. V'kamar al shigasa hashem because of shkalim. And meanwhile, if done b'shogeg yurchayev a karban, and of course that means that there was a denial in the face of witnesses. A denial in the face of witnesses. Again, the whole premise of Rabbah is that's not a denial. The brisa sounds like it is a denial. So amalu rab Mordechai bar minei dahi. So the gemara says that brisa, like we did yesterday, we're doing it again today. Take that price out of the discussion. Why? I'm the one who brought the brisa in. I'm telling you, your version of the brisa is not good. This is the version of the brisa. So whether it is bezadon or whether it's bishogig, you bring a karban. Meaning, the entire point of the brisa is a karban is brought whether the denial was done intentionally or unintentionally. Kashma, come in here. Again, this is a brisa that we quoted yesterday. We're quoting it now again today. Again, the beginning of the brisa is really unclear. But for whatever reason, we're comparing a nazir tameh to shvuos apikadon. And the brisa just, right now, we're just focusing on the one line of the brisa. By nazir tameh, you get malchus. By shvuos apikadon, you don't get malchus. Now, hechidam idaleka edem amai loke. Now, if there are no witnesses, there's no makas to talk about. Elapshita dika edim, obviously there are witnesses. Viktani tomer b'shuas b'kadam shein aloke. And it says that by shuas b'kadam, you're not going to get makas. Now, you're not getting makas. You know what you are getting? So, maka hu delaloke of a carbon maisi. So, but you are going to bring a carbon. Tiyufta derabba tiyufta. So, that line of the brisa makes it spell, it sounds very clearly like a denial, even though there are witnesses. A denial is going to be considered a denial with or without witnesses. And the Gemara upends the opinion of Rabba. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Akofer b'mamash yeshlav edim chayev b'shtar pater. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you would deny money and there are witnesses to the fact that you owe the money, you are going to be chayev. Meaning, basically, what we just concluded. Meaning, Rabba wanted to argue otherwise, but the Gemara just upended Rabba, and Rabbi Yochanan now starts off with an achinami against witnesses. Still, your denial is significant. Still, it's going to bring about a liability to have to bring a carbon. However, bishtar, if let's say your denial is going up against the shtar. So in other words, somebody makes a claim against you and he has documentation and you deny it. Your denial is insignificant. One second. We're just right now focusing on shvuos apikadon. So amar apapa maitam de Rav Yochanan edem avid de maisei shtar. So the Hamanach. So, I'm sorry. Edom Avida Demaisei Shtar Hamanach. So the what's the reason behind Rav Yochanan? Meaning, what is the difference between Edom and Shtar? They're both rayos. They're both proofs. So as far as Edom are concerned, so Avida Demaisei. So as far as Edom are concerned, so could be that they come, but Shtar Hamanach. But the Shtar itself is there. Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishula Rav Papa Shtar Nami Avida Demirkas. What do you mean? You think a shtar is stronger than Edim? Yeah, that's good as long as you're holding on to the shtar. What happens when you misplace the shtar? It's good. It's good as lost Edim. So Ella Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishua Hanatamid Rav Yochanan. So there has to be a more fundamental difference between Edim versus shtar, and the Gemara now spells it out. Oh, it is more fundamental. The Gemara says that when it comes to a shtar, and when you're denying an obligation that is backed by documentation, what does that documentation create? Like we've discussed time and again, it creates a shibud. Shibud means that in the event of a forfeiture, of a default on the payment, so that means that what you can do now is you can go to the property and get compensation from the property. So now what you're really denying against the shtar is you're really denying against property. And what are we seeing, and what the Gemara now is saying is what do we see again, is that a kfira on property does not result in a carbon. Itmar, mashbi'ei dekarka. So the Gemara says, as long as we're on this topic, so let's discuss and debate this topic. If you're kofer bekarka, is that going to bring about a liability for a carbon? Pliga Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, chanam rechai v'chanam rapater. So one says rechai, the other says rapater, tisayim de Rav Yochanan, namar pater. So the Gemara says, it's got to be the Rav Yochanan is the one who holds that it's pater. Why? Midam Rav Yochanan, kofer b'mam, sheish lav edem chayav, shtar pater. Uchid Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yeshua, tisayim. So the Gemara says, based on what we just learned together, we just learned that according to Rav Yochanan, a kfira against Edom would be chayiv, a kfira against the shtar would not be chayiv, and the difference being what we just said. That when it comes to a shtar really is property, because it creates a shibud on the property, and that's why you'd be potter. Amle Rav Yirmiah le Rabbi Abba, Amle Rabbi Yirmiah le Rabbi Abba, Lema Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Bepukta, the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabban Kamiflagi, did not. What is really at the root of this machlokas over here? So the Gemara says perhaps what it was at the root is another machlokas, a shas topic, and that is whether or not you could steal property. Meaning, can I steal property? Sure, that's easy. It's not easy. But in other words, I steal property by taking the owner and I basically chuck the owner out of his property. Okay, good. So I stole his property. But in other words, in halacha, is that karka considered nigzal? Is a karka considered like it's stolen property or no? In other words, the other way to look at it is just simply, look, I temporarily dislocated the owner from the property, but it still belongs to him. I'm not considered a gazlan on the property. What difference does it make? Well, first, let's see the mission together. Dinana goes to sade mechaver v'shat v'nar, chayv l'amilos sade divrebe Eliezer. So let's say I steal somebody's property in the way I just described, where I just kicked him out of his property, and now I'm sitting on the property, and then flood comes and floods the property. So, what is the halacha regarding Zela? Regarding Zela, I got to make compensation. If the property is considered nigzal, that means now that I have kinyanic Zela. That means that now I am the owner of the property. I don't own the property, meaning that's not the best way to describe it. But I have now liability towards the property, and that means that if something happens to the property, I have to make compensation. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's absolutely the case. Meaning that if I now kick somebody off his property, I'm sitting on the property gets flooded, I now got to compensate. And the Chachamim omrim, amaloh harisha cholafanecha. And the Chachamim say, look, you say to the guy, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to throw you out of your property. Wow. I don't know what I was thinking. And on top of that, here's your property again. And oh, by the way, just one other detail, and that is the property's flooded. But otherwise, though, I hope you accept my sincerest apologies. So the Amrinim b'maikam iflagi, and the Gemara now points out, what is that the Nekud HaMachlokas over here? Rebbe Lazar Darish Ribui Miyutiv Rabbana Darshi Klal HaPrat. And the Gemara says, in terms of whether or not property is included in Gzela, in the Parsha of Gzela, is how you darshan the Pesukim. Rabbi Eliezer Darshi Ribui Miyav V'kichesh Ba'mita Riba B'bikad Nobetzim Asyad Miyet. So we look at our psukim, and it's generality followed by specific, followed by generality. And here we go again. Riba, miyad, riba, riba, hakol. So we start off with including everything. My riba, riba, komile. Umay miyad, miyad, staros. And now with a miyad, remember, what does miyad do? Miyad just simply chisels also a little bit off the ends. In other words, and the miyad is telling us that staros are excluded. Meaning, but karka is included. With ribu and miyot or ribu, you end up with more. And v'rabban darshin klal prate. And the chacham darshin klal prat. Kichesh b'amito klal. Bibikar num b'tzimus yair o b'gezel prat. O mikol shei sheva alav chazer v'klal. Klal v'prat v'klal. Iyata daniel kein apram ha'apram mefurish davar ha'mitaltav v'gufa mamon. Av kol davar ha'mitaltav v'gufa mamon. So it has to be something that looks like the examples. The examples are all monetary obligations. Monetary obligations which really encompass two character traits. One, it's movable. Two, it has intrinsic value. Yatsu karkar shei metaltel. Property is not movable. Yatsu avadim shukshula karkaos. Avadim are connected to karka. And shtaro shaf apisha metaltel in gufa mamun. And a shtar, on one hand, it's movable. On the other hand, it does not have intrinsic value. So, manda mechayv karebi Eliezer, manda patek rabbanan. And now, once we have just set up the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, the Gemara now is going to say this may, in fact, be the nekud hamachlokus in terms of kfiras karka. By kfiras karka, if it's eligible for gzela, so then the kfira is a kfira. If it's not eligible for gzela, so then the kfira is not a kfira. Amar le lo, manda mechayev k'Rabbi Eliezer, manda pater. Now the one who says that your chayev holds like Rabbi Eliezer, meaning, if according to Rabbi Eliezer, karka is eligible for gzela, so then obviously a denial is considered a denial. That part's clear. That's good. Then umanda pater, amalacha. And the one who says your pater, what is he going to say? Baha, feel Rabbi Eliezer, moded, derechman amar, mikol velo hakol. Even the Rebbe Elazar would agree over here that a denial is not going to affect it because it's the pasuk says mikol and not hakol. Amra papa mishmei the Rebbe Mesis nami deka diktani ganafta shari v'hu amar lo ganafti. Look at the case in the Mishnah. You stole my ox. The other person says no, I didn't. Mashbiachani v'amra amen chayev v'ilu ganafta es avdi lo ketani. Now, not only do we read carefully what the Mishnah's examples are, but we also read carefully what the Mishnah's examples are not. The Mishnah clearly avoided the example of you stole my Evan, my time, Alam Mishum David, Titkishal Karkos. They may be in carbon al-kfir, shibut karkos. Oh, so very good. So in other words, we know that in Halacha, an Evan has the same status of karka. And the reason why the Mishnah avoided the example of Evan is because just like, assuming we hold like Rav Yochanan, just like a kfir on karka does not bring about a carbon obligation, so to a kfir on an Evan will not bring a carbon obligation. So the Mishnah used the example of Shur. The Mishnah did not use the example of Eved, and that obviously was designed. So Amra Papi Mishnah with the Rava Ema Sefer Zeakal Kol Mishlam Api Atzma Chay Vishen Mishlam Api Atzma Pater Zeakal Lasu Yemai. So then the Gemara says, but yeah, but you know what happened in the end of the Mishnah, right? Like just like we discussed a day ago. The Mishnah gave a summary statement. What's the point of the summary statement? So the Gemara says, "My love, lasui ganaftes avdi." So it must be that the whole point of the summary statement is to get us to the example of ganaftes avdi. Now, if that's true, so Rav Yochanan, what do you say about that? So the Gemara says, so the truth of the matter is the deek in the Mishnah is not a good deek. Meaning, you're looking in the Mishnah at the examples that are given. Ah, the bedafka, those examples? No, not necessarily. Because then the Mishnah gave a summary statement. And any denial, says the Mishnah at the end of the summary statement, is considered denial, including ostensibly avadim as well. So in other words, from the Mishnah, you can't make such a deek. Okay, so a number of things, just to summarize, a number of issues that were opened up on the floor. And the truth of the matter is that the Gemara that's not true. The Gemara had closure on one of the issues. So just quickly to recap. One issue was if you're, let's say, amazed by Shavuos HaPikadon, where you are going to deny and swear that you have that you own an obligation, you do so intentionally. And we know that intentional denial still brings about a carbon liability. What would be if there were witnesses and Hasra? So would there be Malkus and a carbon? Would it be just Malkus? Would it be just a carbon? That was question number one. That was Rav Kahana's question as he was learning the Masechta. And on that, the Gemara did not arrive at a conclusion. Two, the Rabbah's position, where if I'm denying and there are Edim that are there, so Rabbah says that just Kfiras Dvarim Ba'alma, those are just words. It's not a real denial because the Edim, if they come and testify against me, I'm going to owe it with or without a denial. So Rabbah says you're not going to be chayav karbon. That the Gemara upended. The Gemara gave it to Yifta and Rambo, and that position was not taken. And finally, the last point that's open for deliberation in the Gemara is kfiras karka. Kfiras karka, if I deny property, is that going to bring about a karbon obligation if I deny property? Machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan says that kfiras karka does not bring about a carbon liability. Rav Elazar says it does bring about a carbon liability. And so that also, the Gemara doesn't conclude, but assuming the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, normally the halacha is like Rav Yochanan against Rav Elazar. Okay. That was a lot of information. I'm just going to breathe for a moment, and then we're going to go back again. Lamin Chesam and Aleph. We're on the top of the Amud. Shvuos Abikad and Ketzah Tenli Abikad and Sheishle Biyadcha. Okay. This sugya is a bit of a mind twister. I'm going to say it too fast. I know I'm going to say it too fast. Okay. Hopefully, I'll say it clearly, so that way you could just hit the replay button again, and just and play it again. But basically, here's the outline of what we're about to discuss. We know in the Mishnah gave scenarios in which you make a general denial, and with a general denial, even if it's multiple claims, a general denial is only going to bring one carbon liability. If, however, I am specific that I don't owe you this and this and this and this, so then that's now a specific denial. The word that we're going to be using in the Gemara is prat, right? Prat means specific examples. So that is now a specific denial on each one of the claims, and I'm going to be a chayav of carbon on each one. That's the basic idea. That's the easy part. The hard part now is going to be in the details. Because basically what we're going to be doing in the Gemara is debating what is considered a klal and what is considered a prat. And what makes the Gemara look complicated, quite frankly, is that it's going to be a machlokas tanaim, and then on top of that, it's going to be a machlokas amaraim, how to understand the machlokas tanaim. So it's a machlokas in a machlokas on an issue which in of itself is already a little bit tricky. Okay, so with all that stated, let's go into the Gemara. Alam el chesam el aleph. Shvua ha-bikarun keitz ha-ten li bikarun sheish la-biyadcha. So, Tana Rabbanan. So here the Gemara quotes a brisa. Klal, enu chayv ala achas. Prad chayv ala achas va-achas. Divra Meir. So Meir opens up with what I just said. That if there is a sweeping general denial, one carbon. Even against multiple claims. If it is a specific denial on each claim, a carbon for each denial. That's Shitas Rav Meir. Now it's funny, what does that mean? Shitas Rav Meir, meaning that's the rule. But as you'll see in just a moment, it's Rav Meir is holding this in a specific scenario, which we're going to try to explain. Rav Yehuda Amar Shvua lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, chayv kol achas v'achas. Rav Yehuda says, if I make a shvua that I don't owe you, in other words, here we're having multiple claimants, right? Multiple toanim, multiple people, that's better, or making claims against you, and you say, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and you keep pointing down the list, not you, and not you, and not you, so you're chayv kol achas v'achas, you're chayv for everyone. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, shvua, chayv kol achas v'achas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the shvua has to be at the back end, not at the front end. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ashi Omer, shvua lechol achas v'achas, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to have a shvua for every one of the people who are making a claim against you. Meaning not just a simple denial, a denial coupled with a shvua against every person who makes a claim, then and only then are you going to be chayv on each one. So far, so good. What we're going to be focusing on is the first two shitas that we saw in the Braisa, the shita of Reb Meir and the shita of Reb Yehuda. Now, it's really hard to say what Reb Meir holds because he doesn't say much. He just simply says, if it's general, one general denial, one carbon. Multiple denials, multiple carboners. That's Reb Meir. And then comes along Rav Yehuda, and he is clearly arguing, meaning that's the structure of the Braisa, but on what point is he arguing? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel. Klal Shel Rabbi Meir, Prato Shel Rabbi Yehuda, Klal Shel Rabbi Yehuda, Prato Shel Rabbi Meir. What Rabbi Meir considers a klal, Rabbi Yehuda will consider a prat. What Rabbi Yehuda considers a klal, Rabbi Meir will consider a prat. And it means like this, right? I'm just going to say it outside. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it, so I have to say it outside. But in other words, right, Rashi, everything I'm saying, Rashi spells out. It goes like this. According to Reb Meir, if I say, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and I keep adding a vav in between each one, so what does a vav do? The vav is chibur. Vav creates connection. So that is, according to Reb Meir, considered a generalized denial. And even though I say, not you, not you, not you, because I add the conjunction and, in Hebrew, a vav, so therefore it links everyone together, and so therefore I have one denial. Under those circumstances now, assuming my denial was false, it's one carbon liability. Mashenkin, according to Rav Meir, when I say lolecha, lolecha, lolecha without a vav, so that now becomes individualized, that's prat, and therefore I'm chayv on each one. That sheet is Rav Meir. And it happens to be, it's really easy to understand. Right? It's mistaber. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, let's turn everything around. Let's have it now that when I say vi, lolecha, vi lolecha, v'lolecha, That's individualized. When I say lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, that's klal. That is general. Now, if you look back at the Braisa and you read the Braisa, I mean, the little bit of information we get in the Braisa, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda says. Rav Yehuda Omer, Shvua lo lecha, vilo lecha, vilo lecha, chai v'kla achas v'achas. With a vav, it's individualized. Now, he doesn't say the other part. That's Shmuel saying the other part, which is that without the vav, it's klal. That's what Shmuel's saying. Admittedly, a svara for Rabbi Huda is a little bit challenging. Meaning the svara for a mayor is very easy. With a vav, that's chibur, that's connection, it unifies. What's the svara behind Rabbi Huda? So, brought down that in the Rishonim say, that the svara behind Rabbi Huda is as follows. When I add a vav, so the vav is clearly a conjunction. But what is it connecting? So, says the Rishonim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when I say Shvua lo lecha, vilo lecha, you know what the Vav is doing? It's going not back to the previous, it's going back to the Shvua. It's as if I'm saying Shvua lo lecha, vilo lecha, the Vav meaning back to the Shvua. Shvua lo lecha, and then the next one, vilo lecha, Shvua lo lecha. So in other words, the Vav is connecting, but connecting all the way back to the Shvua. So that means now that I am individually making a Shvua against every one of them. Whereas if I don't add the vav and I just simply say shvua, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, that is one blanket denial for everybody. That is the shita of Rav Yehuda as explained by the Rishonim. Okay. So far we have now one understanding of the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. V'Rav Yochanan amar kol modim b'vilo lecha shu prat. Rav Yochanan says that when you add the vav, there's no debate. Everyone says that that's individualized. And you're going to have to use the svara that I just gave. That what the Vav is doing is it's not connecting to the previous, it's connecting to the Shvu in the beginning. Fine. And according to Rav Yochanan, no machlokas. Lo nechluguela b'lo lecha. The only time there's a machlokas is when there's no Vav. So Rav Meir omer prat. Rav Meir says it's prat. And Rav Yehuda omer klal. So, and according to Rav Yehuda, it would be a klal. And now, question on the table. So according to Rabbi Meir, based on Rav Yochanan's viewpoint, I know there's a lot of information here. I know it's like this. These are the kinds of Gemaras you should be charting out. We should all be charting out. So, according now to Rabbi Meir, in Rabbi Yochanan's viewpoint, so now, with a Vav, individualized. Without a Vav, individualized. So when is it considered general denial? So the Gemara says, Ezu Klalosha Rabbi Meir, and we know there's a Klalosha Rabbi Meir, because remember the Brice on the top of the Amud? Rabbi Meir says, there is a case of Klal. What would be the case of Klal? Very simple. Shvua She'ein Lachem Biyadi. When I say lachem, you, in English we don't have this. Meaning the word you in English, it's the same for singular as it's for plural. But, right, yours? Use. Thank you. That's better. That's good English. So in other words, when I say use guys. Okay, anyway, so good. We all get the point. So the Gemara says, so that is that's Rav Yochanan's understanding of the machlokas. So we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Coupled with a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, how to define the parameters of the machlokas. B'mayka miflagi. And the Gemara says, now what is that, the source of the root of the machlokas? We're not really giving svar right now. What we're really doing in the Gemara is just simply making diukim. But okay, we're making diukim. Shmuel dayak mi brisa, Rav Yochanan dayak mi masnisen. Shmuel, as far as he's concerned, the critical reading of the brisa had him arrive at his conclusion. How so? Because Shmuel daik mi brisa medikam Rav Yehuda velo lecha prata havai. So in other words, look, in the brisa that we have on the top of the Amud, Rav Meir said very little. Rav Meir just made a distinction between klal versus prat. And then along comes Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda gives an example. But Shmuel says, but if you're listening carefully, Rav Yehuda is obviously, he's arguing with Rav Meir. Meaning Rav Meir must have taken a position. Rav Yehuda hears the position, he's like, no. And Shmuel says that's how you learn the Braisa. Midikam Rav Yehuda v'lo lecha prata havai mechlal d'shamel Rav Meir damer klal havai v'amalei Rav Yehuda prata havai. So when must be that Rav Yehuda heard Rabbi Meir's example and Rav Yehuda winced and said no, that's not klal, that's prat. So fine. So therefore that allows Shmuel to arrive at his conclusion that when you say the vav v'lo lecha according to Rav Meir, that's klal. And Rav Yehuda says, no, that's not klal, it's prat. Rav Yochanan amar tavar l'Rav Meir prat ahava. And as far as Rav Yochanan says, no. Rav Yochanan say no. In the case where the vav is added, they agree. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agree that that's considered individualized. The Amala Rav Yehuda bevelola chamodinalach. And now, how do you understand the Braisa? So here's the narrative of the Braisa. When Rav Yehuda hears the case of Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Meir, oh, good. The case of vav, I agree with you. And belolacha paginalach. But without the vav, that's where I disagree with you. Ushmuel, now as far as Shmuel is concerned, that's a strange narrative of the Braisa. What do you mean? In a Braisa, when you're hearing an opinion in the Braisa, you don't normally hear the point of agreement in a Braisa. When you're hearing a second opinion in the Braisa, you normally are presented the point of disagreement, not agreement. Okay, so that's the Braisa. The Braisa works out a little bit better according to Shmuel. Noted. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan daik mimasisim b'dekam, Rav Meir shvur shein lechem yad diklala, have mechlal, divololacha prata have. So look, in the case of the Mishnah, now, here's the tricky part. It's not tricky, but who is the Mishnah's position espousing? We're assuming right now it's Rav Meir. Why we assume that? Very simple. Because Tam Mishnah ka Rav Meir. In other words, when you have a generic Mishnah, so we assume that it's authored by Rav Meir. Meaning it's subscribing to the opinion of Rav Meir. So now, with that stated, Shvur she'en lechem biyadi, klala have, mechlal develo lecha, prata have. Look, the Mishnah is giving an example of klal. What's the Mishnah's example? Lachem, use guys. That means then that anything other than that is considered an example of prat. Look, says the Gemara, if the Mishnah wanted to give the best example of prat, so the Mishnah would have given lolacha v'lolacha v'lolacha, for sure lachem also, sorry. If the Mishnah wanted to give an example of klal, the Mishnah should have said lolacha v'lolacha v'lolacha, for sure lachem should also have been considered a klal as well, and that would have been better for the Mishnah. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah said lachem as being the klal, that must mean that anything less than that, once you start individualizing, under all circumstances, that's going to be a prat. And that's all the shita of Rav Meir. Shmuel Amar, Kola Omer V'lo Lecha Ka'omer, Shvur She'en Lecha Biyadin Dami. And then what Shmuel would counter by saying is that no, that when the Mishnah said the word Lachem, what the Mishnah was teaching us is that saying Lachem is tantamount to saying Lo Lecha V'lo Lecha V'lo Lecha. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have so far a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in terms of what is Klal versus what is Prat. And a machlokas amarayim, what exactly is the shita of Rav Meir? What exactly is the shita of Rav Yehuda? According to Shmuel, basically, Rav Meir is an inversion of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda is an inversion of Rav Meir. Okay? And according to Rav Yochanan, no. When you say vilolacha, vilolacha, that's prat, according to everybody. It's only when you say lolacha, lolacha, without the vav, then and only then is there a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir will consider that to be a prat, and Rav Yehuda will consider that to be a klal. And then again, just to simply recap, and then according to Rav Meir, what is the example of klal? Only when you say the word lachem, according to Rav Yochanan. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah. Lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha tani. I'm sorry. Now, I'm going to read this quickly. Again, assuming our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, because Tam Mishnah is Ka Rav Meir, so all the examples in the Mishnah are with vavs, and all those examples in the Mishnah are considered individualized. Now, the Gemara notes, if you subscribe to Shmuel, that shouldn't be the case. If you subscribe to Shmuel with a vav, it should be klal, not prat. And so basically what the Gemara is going to try to do, not try, what the Gemara is going to do with every one of the cases in the Mishnah is basically edit the Mishnah and take out the vavs. And eventually the Gemara is going to get fed up with it. Okay, and with all this editing. So I'm going to read all this quickly. Tanan, lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha, tani lo lecha, tashma. Tein li pikadon, u tesumas yad, v'gezel v'aveda. So there are the vavs. Tani, the Gemara says, okay, edit it, tesumas yad, gezel, aveda. Take out the vavs. Tashma. Tein lichitim v'sarim v'kusmin, there are vavs. Tani, sarim kusmin. Take out the vav. Here's where the Gemara gets fed up. Hai tana kol hachi shabish tani v'azel? Really? So you're telling me now that the Mishnah just is stringing along mistake after mistake, and we're going to now just keep editing the Mishnah. The Mishnahs are assumed to be edited. One mistake, tolerable, barely. Multiple mistakes, it's too much. To which the Gemara says, Elahamani Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's now where we're changing our assumption. The Mishnah is not Rameir. Yes, it's true, normally, Stam Mishnah is Rameir. Our Mishnah is not going like Rameir, but rather it's going like Rebbe. The Amr Loshna Kizayis Kizayis, Loshna Kizayis Vichizayis Prate Havai. Look at Rashi, I'm not going to get into it right now. The Rebbe's position over here is in Zvachim regarding Pigel, a machshava of Chutzus Mano and Chutzum Kamo. If, let's say, I have two machshavos, if those two machshavos are said back to back, which machshava is going to take precedence? Is it going to be a machshava Chutzus Mano or is it a Chutzum Kamo machshava? Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's not fine, but for our purposes right now, just know that according to Rebbe, with or without a vav, it's the same. And that shita of Rebbe over there in Zvachim is the same shita over here in Shavuos. Meaning our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Tashma. Mididei, Rebbe Meir Omer, afilo chita v'sar v'kos emes, chai v'kol achas v'achas. Now there is one time in the Mishnah when Rebbe Meir is actually named. And he says, chita v'sar v'kos emes, and there are vavs over there. And according to you, Shmuel, that should be one, not three. So Tani Chita Sar Vikusemis. Sorry. I didn't do what the Gemara wanted me to do. What did we do? Take the Vav out. Chita Saora Kosemis. My Afilu, Amravacha Bre Ravika, Afilu Chita Bechlal Chitin, Saora Bechlal, Saora and Kosemis Bechlal Kusman. So let me just, I'm sorry, before I finish the last point, going back to the previous point, wasn't the Gemara fed up with editing? Yes, it was fed up with editing. But if it's just one editorial note, like I said, that's tolerable. So that's why over there, if I take out the vav in one case, okay. Not the best, but at least it's tolerable. And then finally saying, and then the final point of the Gemara over here is, well, if all this is true, so then why, what is the point then? Meaning if we're taking out the vav, so what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that when you say chita, it could be understood as a singular, it could also be understood as plural. If you say Sa'ora, same. And if you say Kusma could also be Kosemis. It could be Kusmin, sorry. It could be also understood in the plural. Meaning that the singular and plural of these words are interchangeable. That could be the entire point of Rameir in the Mishnah. And having nothing to do with a Vav or without the Vav. Okay, I kind of will stop over here. We have a little bit more to finish the Perek. We'll finish the Perek in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. And start the sixth Perek of the Masechta.